at the Ramada Inn on Olmerton, 3580 Olmerton in Clearwater. We meet, we get together about 6 o'clock, take prayer requests. We pray out of Prayers that Avail Much, which is a great prayer book, by the way. And then we have, you know, a little bit of time in prayer, and then we have praise and worship starting at about 6:30. We get into the Word. It's interactive. It's great. Bring a notebook. Bring your dinner. Bring an open mind. Bring a questioning. Bring questions. I love questions. Great time. We're usually out of there by 8, a little bit after maybe. So we just encourage everybody, if you're in this area, please, you know, please feel free to join us. If you're listening today, you can hear us, of course, on AM 1340 WTAN. You can listen to us on the internet, 1040.com. And we can also be heard on the Starcom network. And not only is there this show that we have going out, we also have our other show on Thursday night, Go Yard, which I'll have Nan talk a little bit about.
It's the life coaching program. We have Pastor Marcia, who is also known as Mama Mac, and we have Dr. Angel Fazzone on there, and she's a licensed mental health counselor with PhD. Pastor has a lot of experience in counseling in her ministry. And two of them together make a wonderful, wonderful team. And they have touched on some pretty intense subjects that some people might not want to take on. They've taken them on head on. God's anointing has been on them, and it's been just a mighty, mighty thing. You can call in, you can text in. They provide you that information during the show, that if you have questions. I look at it as a one-hour free counseling session. You know, and some people, the topic might be something that doesn't necessarily really apply to them, but it could at one day, mm-hmm. or maybe a family member it could apply towards, or there's something that actually applies towards yourself. But it's a very, very wonderful, wonderful program. Everyone should listen to it. Is that okay?
That was great, Nan.
That was off the cuff. I wasn't expecting that, Pastor.
Well, Nathan's probably not expecting this either, but Nathan, if you'd share a little bit about the prayer ministry at Beacon of Hope.
Well, our prayer ministry is 24/7, and anyone that has any prayer needs can write to Beacon of Hope Ministries, BOHM Global Ministries. .com, rather.
Yeah, BOHMGlobal.com.
BOHMGlobal.com.
Right.
Prayers at BOHMGlobal.com. And that will reach one of our prayer counselors, who will write out a prayer and send it out to all of our prayer team, which is growing steadily.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. And we pray for you. We pray for the need, whatever that need may be. And please feel free to share with us when God answers the prayer.
Amen.
We enjoy that much.
Amen.
We enjoy that very much.
That's what I like is, because I save those. And it's so wonderful. I'm a firm believer in setting up those Ebenezers, those stones that Samuel set up when he said, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." Those are like road marks, you know, little guide stones in the road that show us, hey, look what God did here. Well, in fact, we sang it in a few weeks ago, look what the Lord has done. You know, we can look back and we can rejoice and say, look what the Lord has done. So that's such a wonderful thing. Well, thank you both. Such a pleasure to be on here with both of you all. So I think we'll start off the second hour with a song by Paul Baloche, Celebrate the Lord of Love.
Trade your heavy heart for a heart of joy. Celebrate what God has done. Join the song of praise as we gather here. Celebrate the Lord of love. Jesus is our Lord. He is reigning here. We declare his king. Has to flee in his holy light. Celebrate the Lord of love. All creation sings. Hear the ocean. mountains roar. Let the earth proclaim that Christ is Lord. Yeah. Trade your heavy heart for a heart of joy. Celebrate what God has done. Join the song of praise as we gather. Our Lord, He is reigning here. We declare His kingdom's come. Darkness has to flee in His holy light. Celebrate the Lord above. All creation sings. Hear the oceans roar. And let the earth proclaim that Christ is Lord.
Love that song too. One of my new favorites. So, and I think that's so important that we celebrate the Lord of love. Okay? That we really celebrate the love of God. You know, and this being Valentine's Day, I thought that'd be a good day to do that. And Nan's going to help us celebrate with another poem.
It is called Celebrate Me. Celebrate me. Look at what I've done. You have eternal life due to the act of my son. Move forward as if in a time of party. You can do such because you're set free. Celebrate, that's what you're to do. Come on, celebrate, I gave all for you. Celebrate, party, have a good time. Remember all that I've done, I am so kind. Celebrate, praise, celebrate, praise. I must say, with all the poems throughout many years that God has given me, I never recall one that he said a party in it. Okay. And he said that twice.
I wondered about that.
I have never had that happen before. But, you know, we're talking about celebrating. You know, when you celebrate, okay, you celebrate the football game, the Super Bowl we had. You know, people were celebrating. They were shouting. They were, depending on which team you wanted to win. But the team that was
Cam
winning
was not celebrating.
Well, I know that. But, I mean, it's like a festive. It's like, you know, when you celebrate someone's birthday, you get excited. You have a little kid's birthday. Everyone's excited. They blow out their candles. They sing happy birthday. There's balloons. There's excitement there. If we do excitement for our small children with birthdays, or our adults with birthdays, or Super Bowl if your team won, as you celebrate that, how much more should we celebrate what he has done? That's all.
Nan will step down from her soapbox.
Yep, off now.
But that's so true. We think of, you know, people in the stands at a football game, basketball game, or Pastor Marcia at a Rays game, you know, screaming, jumping up and down, you know, when the team's doing well. And that's true. And especially if you read in, well, in the Old Testament, in the Book of Psalms, the way the worship was going on. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Then in the New Testament, they shouted to God, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. It wasn't, you know, just worthy is the Lamb that was slain.
No, they were shouting it out.
And people might get upset, but the Hallelujah Chorus is not my favorite song from Handel's Messiah. It is Worthy is the Lamb. That, you know, I mean, I love Hallelujah Chorus, don't get me wrong, but Worthy is the Lamb, that's a shouting song. So even if it is Baroque, it's a Baroque shouting song. but that's so true that we need to, we've got a lot to celebrate.
Well, just taking it back real quick, if I may, to the Super Bowl. My roommate happened to be on the side that won. And it was really interesting to see when a play for her team was not good, I'd hear her say something, you know, let out a yell or something. And then when a play on her team was great, let out a real fantastic thrill, and then realize that, oh, I'm sorry. I said, I don't care. It doesn't matter to me, you know. But we can praise him as we really understand the depthness of what he has done for us. And, you know, sometimes some people don't really comprehend or understand the depthness of what he has done for us, you know.
No, I agree. I agree, which is why I skipped over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Some more of my favorite verses. And I want to start in verse 14. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge this, that if one died for all, then all died. So what Paul's saying here is because we were included with Jesus when he went to the cross, we have died and risen again. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we've known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, and I was always told to find out what the therefore was there for. Therefore, because of all this that went on above, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. that's one of my favorites. And that's, you know, God's love made us new. He just didn't revise us. You know, we did not become the new Nathan Revised Standard Version or the NAN Revised Standard Version. This word means, you know, new in quality, okay? You became a new quality. And NAN, you were going to say something.
Yes, I like what a note this Bible has. It says, Christians are brand new people on the inside. The Holy Spirit gives them new life, and they are not the same anymore. We are not reformed, rehabilitated, or re-educated. We are recreated, new creatures, living in vital union with Christ. At conversion, we are not merely turning over new leaf. We're becoming a new life under a new master. Mm-hmm. I'm liking this new Bible I got.
Well, I'm glad.
That's good.
That's good stuff in there.
It's got some good direction and good things.
Yeah,
that's true. It's true that when we give our life to Christ, we become a new person, a new creation mm-hmm. in Him, a new creature in Him, and there's nothing else in the world like it. Nothing. Right.
And I think some people look at that verse and say, "Well, I don't feel new, or I'm not acting new," mm-hmm. and I know, you know, I've been there. I thought those same things. If I'm supposed to be so new, how come I'm still feeling so old? You know, how come I still do so many of those old things? And, you know, we have to walk that scripture out. We have to believe, hey, I am a new creation.
Well it's like it's
because Christ changes you from the inside out.
Right, right.
I mean, the inside, our hearts are made new.
Right.
And as our hearts continue to feed our hearts with the Word of God, it grows, it starts moving out, mm-hmm. starts moving out into our flesh.
Right.
You know, and in our mind, becomes new. All that becomes new.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's like a baby. When you have a baby, mm-hmm. you have that baby, and that baby can't care for itself. You know, those around him do. And it's like, you know, when we become saved, that's why it's so important to have a church body mm-hmm. around you. They can help to teach you. The youngers can learn from the older, and I don't necessarily mean biological age. I mean the how long they've been serving the Lord, right. how their walk is with the Lord. It might be people who are younger than you. They're teaching you because you came to Christ in a little later time in life, as opposed to, you know, as a child who some people have come that way. But, you know, as that baby grows, that baby learns. I mean, so exciting when the baby takes a first step. Everyone wants to capture that moment with a video. Oh, look, the first step, you know, and the child can, you know, then kind of stumbles down. But we don't necessarily stumble, but we need that guidance just as the baby does. And the baby grows up, mm-hmm. you know, and there's always someone there guiding him. And it, you know, the Holy Spirit can guide us. God is with us to guide us. We have people around us, and that's important. But the ultimate guider is our Father.
And the important thing is to let ourselves be led. I mean, Paul says, entire different teaching, but Paul says that our flesh, in Romans chapter 6, our old man, everything we inherited from Adam, was crucified with Christ. Everything was nailed to the cross. And it stayed there. So, again, we have to walk that out. It's judicially, that's what happened. Judicially, we're new creations. We're new. We're brand new. God looks at us, doesn't see old Nan, old Nathan, old Jim.
Oh, thank God.
Right. He sees new, you know, he sees us new. He sees Jesus. He looks at us and he sees Jesus shining through. Which brings me to verse 18 of 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So, and to be reconciled means there was anger between the two of you, and you've gotten rid of that anger. You're friends again. You were enemies, now you're friends. That's kind of basically what reconciled means. So here, God has reconciled us to himself through Jesus, okay? He's dropped the anger, okay? And he's given us that same ministry that we need to go out and be reconciling people. In verse 19, that is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. That is such an important verse. So I encourage everybody, read it in as many versions as you can get your hands on, because that's such an important verse. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. It was not us reconciling ourselves to God. It was God reconciling the world to himself. Basically, God was saying, because of what Jesus did on the cross, I'm not mad at you anymore. That's what that phrase means when he didn't impute their trespasses to them. Your sins, listeners, have all been covered, taken away, washed away by the blood of Jesus. It's up to you to accept that, to say, I believe it. I believe, you know, my sins are washed away. Because God says, I'm not mad at you anymore. We kind of touched on that, you know, during the first hour. God's not mad at you anymore. It's a lie from the devil if you think he is. If you think God's sitting up there ready to smack you upside the head because you are a sinner, and I don't mean to be blasphemous, but he already smacked Jesus upside the head for you. Okay? Can't get, you know.
Jesus didn't deserve it.
Exactly. The innocent took your punishment, took what you were supposed to get for your sins. Jesus took it upon himself. Okay, he already took your punishment. And there's nothing standing in the way of your relationship with God except guess who?
Me.
Yes. Well, not Nan.
Not Nan, but
Nan's standing in my way of getting saved.
I'm saved. Well, you know, I'm working on a book about faith, and in part of that, I've been led to write. You know, some people they don't think they're worthy, and it has nothing to do with our own worthiness, because I'm not worthy. You know, it's because
how
of
Wayne,
his love.
How Wayne and Garth of you. I'm not worthy.
But, you know, it's because of his love for us.
Mm-hmm.
It's not because of how good we are. And none of us are worthy, but that has nothing to do with it. Those things are there for us. Salvation is there for us. He gave his son. His son gave his life. That is there for us.
Right.
Because they of their love for right. us.
Right. Because he loved us, then he is not counting our sins against us anymore. Okay, that was taken care of on the cross. All we have to do is say yes, accept the love of God. Okay, and then he goes on to say that, let's see, that he's committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Then verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us to implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So
let me read that out of the Living Word,
okay.
out of the Message Bible.
Okay.
Okay. We're Christ's representatives. God uses us to persuade men and women to drop their differences and enter into God's work of making things right between them. We're speaking for Christ himself now. Become friends with God. He's already a friend with you. Isn't that interesting?
That's true. That makes the point very plainly. He's already your friend.
Mm-hmm.
We just have to become friends with him. And we don't have to be afraid to do that. I mean, he's already done everything, you know. He gave his life. What more could he give?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's. And I just read this morning in Hebrews chapter 12, you know, surrounded by such a great batch, you know, all these witnesses. Let's press forward, looking away to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Because he saw the final outcome. He saw that final outcome. He despised the shame. He hated it.
Mm-hmm.
But he endured it for our sakes. And, whoa, that's so incredible. God's love mm-hmm. is so incredible. And we have it right here. We've read out of Romans so far. We've read out of Matthew. We skipped over to Romans, 1 Corinthians. All these places talk about God's love and how much he loves us, how great his love is. And even here it talks about with that love, once we accept God's love, there comes some responsibilities too. Because here we talk about, you know, being ambassadors for Christ. You know, God's love compels us to do these things. It's not just love itself is kind of beyond emotion. The love that's being talked about here, the agape love, is not just an emotional kind of love, because that changes. Okay? Emotional love changes when, you know, we I love you, I hate you, you know, that kind of thing.
With each circumstance. Every
circumstance. That's not God's love. That's we'll call it sloppy agape. It kind of changes with the circumstances. But true love, true agape love, is an act of your will. God willed to love us. We talked about that in Romans. It was his will to love us, even when we didn't love him, when we were, as Nan said, in rebellion against him. Even when we were rebels, he still loved us. Even when we tried everything we could, either to try and get into his presence by our own works, or whether we tried everything under the sun to try and find a way to salvation apart from him, you know, he still loved us. Through all of that, he loved us. And that's what, it was an act of his will. And it's, you know, it's an act of our will. Jesus said in John 13, love one another. He didn't give us the option. He didn't say, well, if you want to, love one another. He didn't give us that option. He said, love one another as I have loved you. Okay. Apart from the fact he went to the cross for us, just in the same manner, show God's love the way Jesus did. That's kind of what he's talking about there. Show my love in the way I did. That way, all the world will know you are my disciples. Okay? I'm going to get on my soapbox for just a moment here. Jesus did not say, condemn everyone who doesn't believe the same way as you, who does not feel the same way about certain topics as you. He said, love. Love. Because if we go out and condemn people for whatever they believe, what are they going to think about the God we serve? They're going to go right back to believing it's that God of wrath, that God of anger. But if we reach out in love and we show God's love in practical ways, if we pray for people, if we give them, you know, whatever, if we listen to God's leading and do what God tells us to do, they'll be won over. Okay? And it's all by...
Well, when you encounter someone and you ask them, you know, maybe they have a problem or a difficulty in their life, and you ask them if you can pray for them, very, very seldom will they deny that.
Right.
Very, very seldom will they say no.
Right. Which is nice, because that way we get to demonstrate, and this is going to be a little segue into our next song, we get to demonstrate the power of God's love.
Me will be stripped away.
great song. We've sung that, of course, at church several times. So that's a great song. So I want to turn over to the book of 1 John for some kind of where I wanted to wrap up here, where with the love of God, it's so important. And that song really speaks to it, the power of your love. Love is not a feeling. You know, it's an act of your will. It's a force, if you will. It's a force that's unstoppable, truly, truly unstoppable. So I want to start in 1 John 4, way toward the end of your Bible. But chapter 4, verse 7, "Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He that does not love does not know God, for God is love." Oof. There's a lot right in there. There's so much in those two verses. First of all, the command is that we love one another. And John was talking to believers. Now, unfortunately, if you've been around churches as long as I have, you know that scripture probably needs to be read at several times a year, if not several times a month. But John's command was, this is how God's love is shown. And if you don't think that the world watches the church, or you as a churchgoer, on how you act and how you react, know that they do. Because people just love it when, you know, especially big name preachers, when they get caught in some sin. The world just loves it because they can say, ha ha ha, see, it's all fake. Told you, it's all fake, doesn't work. They're just, you know, people are just in it for the money. And unfortunately, so many times believers shoot themselves in the foot by doing those things. But John says, love one another, because love comes from God. And everyone who truly loves is born of God. The one that doesn't love doesn't know God, not really. And the whole book of 1 John is based on several tests to see how genuine your faith is. And the test of love is all through this book. And John said, if you don't love, you know, you don't love your fellow believer, then you don't know God. And he says then in verse 9, "In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, the sacrifice for our sins." So this is basically all you need to know about God's love is right here. "In this was love." The love of God was made manifest, was shown to us because Jesus died for us. "And in this is love, not that we loved God." We brought that point up, and Nan brought that point up very well earlier. "Not that we loved God, but that God loved us and gave Jesus to be the sacrifice for our sins." And then in verse 11, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another." No two ways about it. I mean, that's strong words right there. If God so loved us, we ought to love one another. "No one has seen God at any time. But if we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. Now we have all known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him." And I just want to skip over to verse 19. "We love him because he first loved us. What a testimony that is. We stress that salvation is God's initiative. He started it before we even decided we wanted it. He started that process in Jesus. He began that process. And all we have to do is accept it. But then with that acceptance comes the responsibility of loving one another. So, Nan and Nathan, talk to me a little bit about what does it mean to you that about this loving one another stuff? Okay, don't both.
Go.
Thank you, Nan.
You want to go ahead, Nathan?
Oh, we may have lost Nathan.
Okay. Loving one another can sometimes be trying. We love each other. We're family. We all have different personality types. We're all our unique individuals. And there's been some unique individuals in a real not most positive way that I went to church with. I'm still supposed to love them, you know, and it's like some of them, I'll be honest, I don't want to love them. I haven't in the past. I don't have that issue now at church. But in the past, there have been times. But yet we're still supposed to love them because it's our family. We're kindred. You know, we're family. And, you know, to love with God's love, sometimes that's a big responsibility. Sometimes that's very trying. But you know how that person pushes the wrong button with me, but we're still supposed to love them. They may not necessarily be trying to do it. It can just be a clash of personality types. But we still need to love them anyway.
Well, and remember the verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter, you know. Love does not, love rejoices when truth wins out. It does not seek its own. It's not envious. It does not take an account of a wrong suffered. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's tough. That's why I like the definition that it's not an emotion. Because if it was, I wouldn't, believe me, I'm not lovable on the roads. Okay.
Yeah, that's what you keep sharing.
Yes. I guess I should change it and say, I'm learning to be lovable as I drive. But, you know, but you're right. Some people, either they will do something purposely to us, especially especially believers. And that's who John is actually specifying here, because that can be toughest of all. It's easy to love outsiders, but we maybe expect more from our brothers and sisters in the Lord. And as we should. I'm not saying we shouldn't. We should expect more from our brothers and sisters in the Lord. But, you know, we have to make that, I'm going to love you no matter what. Now, that doesn't mean we take everything that they throw at us either. You know, there are, obviously, you know, I want to give the full counsel of Scripture here. Jesus says, somebody sins against you, you go to them. Don't let it stay and fester.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You go to them. Confront them. If they don't accept it, then you go with one or two others. If they don't accept that, then you go before the whole church. I mean, Jesus said, just because we love doesn't mean we have to put up with other people's stuff. If it's hurtful, we need to confront it in them. And that can be done in love.
Mm-hmm.
But it's saying that, you know, love covers a multitude of sins. Okay? We go to that person to correct them because we love them, not because we want to say, ha, 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 see what you did? That's not love. That's not walking in love. Love says, brother, you know what? When you did that, I was really, really hurt by that. Okay? And hopefully, you know, then they'll repent. They'll say, oh, you know, I'm really sorry. I repent of that. So, I do, you know, some people think, you know, love makes you wishy-washy. No way. No way. Love does not make you wishy-washy. Love, if anything, makes you stronger. This is not for wimps, okay? Accepting the love of God and moving in the love of God is not for wimps, okay? Walking in that love with each other is not for wimps. I mean, if you read, you know, or when you read, you know, through 1 John, Penny for wimps. It's not for weaklings. Love, the love of God requires strength and can only be done by abiding in God, by abiding in the Holy Spirit, by abiding in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, which he's given us. That's all through 1 John. Mm. And, you know, people think, oh, okay, pet peeve. You know, they think of loving Jesus, you know, the picture of the loving Savior. It's either that really wimpy Jesus with a lamb around his shoulders, or Solomon's, and I know I'm a step on toes, but Solomon's head of Christ, or Christ in the garden. They all look like women with beards, okay? I mean, Nan is looking at me really funny now. But, you know, we just try to paint Jesus as some wimpy little white man. And here's somebody who was a carpenter, spent a lot of time walking around, so I figure he was pretty well fit. He wasn't a wimp. Mm-mm. You know, he was full of life, full of vigor. And I think sometimes we tend to, because, you know, Jesus is love, we tend to wimp him out a little bit. And I know I'm stepping on people's toes. Yeah, Nan's looking at me like...
Yeah, you are.
Ooh, Nan's just looking at me funny. We have a picture in our church that we use, and I think that's a pretty good representation.
I agree. I agree.
But let me make this point. I think we equate love with weakness. Okay? That's maybe a better way to put that. We equate with weakness.
Yes.
But love requires you to do things you would never...
It requires strength for you to love someone who's in the church... who's by your side, who praises and worships with you, to love them when you feel they're doing wrong to them, that takes strength.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, like you say, it's not a wimpy thing.
He's not
a wimpy Jesus. Just because he went to the cross, he's a strong Jesus
Because he went to the cross. Amen. So, which is a good lead-in for our last song, Jesus, Lover of My Soul, by Darlene Zench.
You go. You're taking me.
Amen. Amen. Jesus, lover of my soul. What a, well, it's a great song, but Jesus, who loves us, who loves us so much. What a wonderful, wonderful thing that is. And Nan, I believe you have a poem for us.
I do. I am the true lover of your soul. I came in order for you to be whole. I am the one who is truly very strong. I am with you even when you've done wrong. I am here. Just call upon me when in need. I will help you. Child, upon me you can lean. I am the one who gave my life for you. Accepting my gift is what you're to do. I am with you and will always help you. Your distresses, you will make it through. I am the true lover of your soul. I came in order for you to be whole. What will you do with this information? Will you accept my gift of salvation? The decision is yours. What will it be? Do you choose to become free?
That is great. You're taking an even deep breath after that one.
I tell you what, that one is really, really powerful. You know, the decision is ours. I mean, we have a choice. You know, we have a choice. You know, he's a perfect gentleman. He will not throw himself on us. It was a gift of salvation.
Right.
He laid his life down for us. And it's, you know, if I have a gift for you and I bring you a gift, it's up to you to receive that gift. Mm-hmm. I have something for you. You're going to be getting it Wednesday night. I bring it to you, and then it's your decision whether you're going to accept it or not. And that's the way it is with the gift of life, the gift of salvation. You're smiling. Why are you smiling?
I'm smiling because it's like, oh, yeah. Like I. But, you know, I know people who have trouble with that. I used to have trouble with that. Free will gifts. And God, of course, the gift of salvation is the greatest gift. I mean, depending on your background, I had trouble with accepting. And sometimes I still do with accepting compliments. It's like I just want to poo-poo them and whatever. When perhaps the correct response is, thank you, it's thank you. Christ in me that's doing that.
Right.
You know, and I think it's maybe the perfect way to say that. But, yeah, sometimes it's hard to accept those gifts, you know. Paul writes in Romans, but the free gift of God is salvation in Christ Jesus. That's a free gift. There's no charge except your life. Okay? And we've talked about that. Well, every time I'm on, I just feel such a strong urge to talk about salvation these days. Mm-hmm. And I think it's so important. So if there's anyone in our listening audience who does not know Jesus, I'm going to pray a prayer, and I'd like for you to follow along. And Ann, if you would repeat after me. We'll say the prayer of salvation. And Nathan, if you're still there, if you'd also repeat with us, that'd be great. But we want to just lead you into a prayer where you come into a relationship with Jesus. So if you would just please follow after me. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus.
Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus.
I believe that Jesus Christ is my Savior.
I believe that Jesus Christ is my Savior.
I believe that He died on the cross for my sins.
I believe that He died on the cross for my sins.
That He rose again from the grave.
That He rose again from the grave.
And that He sits now at your right hand in heaven.
And that He sits now at your right hand in heaven.
Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I accept the sacrifice you made for me.
I accept the sacrifice that you made for me.
I accept your love for me.
I accept your love for me.
And I give my life to you.
And I give my life to you.
Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Empower me by your Holy Spirit.
Empower me by your Holy Spirit.
To always walk in your love.
To always walk in your love.
In your power.
In your power.
And in your grace.
And in your grace.
Now and forever.
Now and forever.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
And listeners, if you prayed that prayer, I would really like to know. Be the first to let me know you got saved. You can email me at pastor@bohmglobal.com. Email me if you have any questions about what salvation means. What does this mean? This step I took, what does that mean? I'm more than happy to answer, you know, answer you when you have questions. I love doing that. Nan can attest to that.
I love doing that. If I have questions, I can send you an email, and you're usually pretty darn prompt about emailing me back with the answer. I don't do that just to exercise it. I do it because I really have a question,
right.
And you always have always answered my questions.
And so if you have any questions, listeners, about what we talked about today, please let us know. And Nan, any final thoughts on all of this?
We're all called to be evangelist in our little part of the world. And I would encourage the people to move forward with faith up, moving towards evangelizing, towards reaching out with the love of God to those in their part of the world.
Mm-hmm.
I can reach people you can't reach because they're not in your part of the world. You can reach people that I can't reach because they're not in my part of the world.
Right.
And we're all, it goes back to this little line of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes in the sphere of the people that you have to influence. And that's what God wants you to do.
Right. We all have people. Exactly. And that's so important. And the other thing is that God, I just can't get away from saying it, that God loves you, listeners. He gave his life for you for salvation, and not just for that fire insurance sort of thing, but so that you could be in relationship with him. That's the wonderful thing. Not just getting into heaven, you know, not just getting snatched from the jaws of hell, but being able to be in relationship with the God of the universe, your creator. That's so wonderful because of his love for us, and because, you know, I pray we're showing his love to everyone. But God wants you healed. He wants you saved. He wants you healed. He wants you made whole spiritually, emotionally, physically, mentally. He wants you to be whole. He loves you that much that he provided all of that for you. He provided all of that for you. So again, if you have any questions, please let me know. PastorJim@BOHMGlobal.com. Just a reminder, this has been Living the Good Life, a radio ministry of Beacon of Hope Ministries. We meet every Wednesday at 6 o'clock for prayer at the Ramada Inn in Clearwater at 3580 Olmerton Road in Clearwater. At 6:30 begins our interactive Bible praise and worship and Bible study. Please feel free to join us any and every Wednesday. We have a great time. We really have a great time. So we look forward to seeing you there. Remember, this show is broadcast live on WTAN 1340 AM. You can always listen to it also on Tantalk 1340. It'll be posted up there until the end of the month, when it will be moved to our website, which is BOHMGlobal.com. You can find all of our radio shows going back, I don't know, to 2009 probably?
Something like that. It goes
just
way back.
Just a ton of radio shows on there. So, and they're all titled, so it's a great thing. You can kind of find the ones you want to listen to.
That most of them also have the names of who was on there. So
yeah.
If there's a particular person you really like listening to, you can go down and select those shows too.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Don't forget our Thursday night show with Mama Mac, Pastor Marsha's alter ego, and Dr. Angel, which is Go Yard, which is a life coaching show. As Nan likes to put it, it is
free counseling.
It is free counseling. We also have a nursing home ministry, which we did last week. The first Sunday of every month, we go to Palm Garden up in Palm Harbor. And right there, Curlew and McMullen Booth, we minister for about 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. We sing a lot. We minister the word every month. Usually it's Nan or I bringing the word to the residents, and that's a real blessing too. So, God loves you. I pray we stress that during this time. There's nothing greater than to know God and to know his love. Well, this is Pastor Jim just saying, I want to just bless you. Pray that God would be with you throughout this coming week. And remember, it's not far to Jesus. It's not far. There is no distance from the
Jesus, His loving arms are open wide. Close your eyes and He will lead you safely to His side.